There is a random in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a candle, and makes it home.
Good morning, and welcome to this episode of Step Into the Light. I am your host, Patty Sheen. Thank you for listening. On this show, we introduce listeners to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light, and those who, through various ministries and creative endeavors, lead others on their journey from darkness to light. Good morning again, and welcome. I have a guest with me today who is also a special friend. Derek Hutchison served as a youth pastor and pastor for 20 years. A huge detour in his life, precipitated by three brain surgeries, led him down a completely unexpected path where he worked for 2 years as an elementary school janitor. He learned many unanticipated lessons from this experience. Derek impacted my life as my former pastor and the person who introduced me to podcasting. Founder of the What If Project, Derek is currently a podcaster, blogger, and motivational speaker who encourages teachers and students in their daily academic and personal lives. Derek, it's such a pleasure to have you on the show. Welcome to Step Into the Light.
It's so exciting to be here, Pat. We were talking yesterday, and it's almost like full circle. I mean, we've shared so much time on air, especially on Blog Talk Radio. It's just so nice to be able to do it again.
Well, it's wonderful to have you here, Derek. And I guess I should clue my listeners into the fact that usually when I interview a guest, I have a list of topics, and the guest and I have discussed ahead of time what we're going to be talking about. But you and I thought that it would be fun to just kind of wing it today. So heaven knows what topics
here we go.
Yes, I have some questions in mind for you. You may throw a question at me, which will probably totally stump me. But anyway, let's just see how it goes and have some fun on this windy southeastern Colorado morning.
That sounds fantastic.
First of all, Derek, how long were you a nurse, and do you still carry a license?
I do not carry a license anymore. The strange thing about it, I went through the LPN program and then began my RN and probably got, halfway done with, I think, the first semester. And then during that time, I really felt that God was kind of speaking to me and telling me, okay, I've got something different in mind. My grandmother had passed away, and I'd had a really formative discussion with her about what should I do. And that was the time that a church down here in La Junta came to me and asked me if I would be interested in doing youth ministry, and had been doing that for a little while, and then decided to do that full time. And so that was a little tough to, you know what it's like to put so much time into nursing school, and
yes,
then to have God move you someplace different. But yeah, it was a time of just really trying to listen to God and kind of be led where he wanted me to go. And he decided that youth ministry was the direction. So I stopped the nursing program and started youth ministry full time.
And those are the kind of stories I love to hear here on the podcast, Derek, is people who are headed in one direction and God waves this sign in front of their face and says, nope, you need to make a right turn here. You know, it's so cool to see what has happened in that person's life. So then you went into youth ministry, and then you came to First Presbyterian Church Los Angeles, and that's where I met you. I met you through my son, actually, who was attending your youth group at the time.
And, that's right.
You know, here on the show, we do talk about darkness to light, people that have been in a dark place, mm-hmm. whether it be spiritually or through. I've had a lot of people that talk about a health struggle that they've been through, or mm-hmm. divorce or loss or whatever. And I know that you had a very serious health struggle. Would you speak to that a little mm-hmm. bit and the kind of battle that was for you?
It was. It was. And the strange thing about it, I had done youth ministry at another town about 20 miles away from Los Animas, where I became the solo pastor. And so I had been doing that for about 10 years, came to Los Animas and was probably there. It's so hard for me to keep the years straight now. So I think I was probably there for a couple years and began to have some strange symptoms. I would lose hearing in one ear. My vision became kind of blurry and I would, you know, get some tingling and that persisted. And then a tremor came along with us. So we decided to go and see what was going on. And at this particular time, I was in, oh, what was I in? Pat, how old was I? 30s, in my 30s or 40s, I think. It's been so long ago. Yeah, probably in my 30s. And they did the MRI and found out that I had what they believed to be some either a cyst or a tumor that was surrounding my pineal gland, which just happens to sit right in the middle of your head, where everything crosses. And so as that grew, it was putting pressure and fluid was building up. And so it was a scary time. And I remember sitting in the doctor's office the neurosurgeon's office with my wife, Christine, and we were there. And the next thing we know, we were scheduled for surgery the next day. And that was a scary thing. So we went through the surgery, the first surgery. Come to find out, it wasn't a cyst. It wasn't a tumor. It was not cancerous. It was benign. But it had almost this sponge-like quality to it. And so they had to pick it out. And they weren't able to pick all of it out because as you pick the back wall of it, there was too much of a fear that we would pick something away that shouldn't be. I could end up blind and all of those things. So we did that the first time, and then a year later it grew back. And then we had to have another surgery. And then right after that, I had some tubes that they have go into the back of your head that are for drainage after the surgery. They went back inside my head, had to have another surgery. But after that, all of those surgeries was constant pain, 24/7. Imagine having the worst migraine that you've ever had, just constantly 24/7. And it became just really debilitating for me. And I remember that was the time that I began to really get angry with God and just really question what was his path for me? Why would he allow this to happen? In a selfish mode, I would say to myself, look at all the things I've done for you, God. And of course, looking back now, the silliness of that, but that's where I was at. Was really to the place of saying, oh, I don't like you very much right now, God. You've cheated me. You've cheated my family. I've done all these things for you. And began to just really, really resent the path that God had chosen for me. He could have stopped this, and he didn't. And I think it's when we're in those times of either pain or sadness or stress, when we really lose sight of God's plan for us. That's what happened to me. And of course, the guilt on top of that of thinking, you're a pastor, Derek. This isn't supposed to happen to you. This doesn't happen to pastors. You know, you don't lose. Not that I lost my faith, but I questioned God and his infinite wisdom that, are you sure this is exactly what you want for me? So it was a very, very trying time for many, many years to try and come to terms and come to grip with the path that God had set me on.
Wow. Thank you for sharing all that, Derek, because I know that was a very difficult time for you, and it was a difficult time for us at the church to see you going through.
Yeah.
What you did.
Yeah, and I think that I think one of the things that really was shown to me during this time, and we're talking years, just years of pain, wondering, is this ever going to subside? Is this my new life?
Yeah.
I had young kids at that time, but I do remember specifically the process of moving from this is what I want God to possibly, okay, if this is going to be my life and this is what you want me to do and this is how you want me to be during this time, we're going to have to come to some sort of agreement here, God. We're going to have to get together on this plan. And I can vividly remember waking up each and every day and I'd swing my legs over, and because most of the time it was get out of bed, go to the bathroom, sit on the tub and really wait to be sick because of the pain. And I can remember talking to God and saying, you know what, you're going to have to take this pain away or I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to be able
right.
to do it. I don't have the strength. And really thinking to myself, wouldn't it be better for me, for my family, if this was just over? And I can remember giving God that ultimatum of saying, I'll give you one more day. I'll give you one more day. And after that, just out of grief and pain and sadness, just saying, I hate you. I hate you for doing this. And I can still remember just almost audibly, Pat, hearing God say to me, I know you do. Just give me one more day.
Mm-hmm.
Just give me one more day. And that persisted every day. Every day was the same day, and things got better to the point of me swinging my legs and sitting on the side of the bed and actually saying, God, I want one more day. Give me one more day. You know, it went from that spot of God asking me to be strong enough to last one more day. Just trust me, Derek. Give me one more day, to the point of me saying, okay, God, I trust you. Give me one more day. Give me one more day. And that was a huge transformational point in my life, in the way that I look at God and how he interacts with us in fitting into his plan. It has been that idea of, okay, I have no idea what you've got for me. I've been through some horrible things here, God. Things have been rough. But you know what? If you just give me one more day, then we'll get this thing going. So that was a huge mindset shift, I guess you would call it, for
yes.
me during that time.
And how is your pain now, Derek?
It's gone. God healed me of it, I would say, probably 4 years ago. I can remember waking up and going to Christine, and it was the first time in probably 10 years I woke up free of pain and haven't had any pain since. And you know, having that type of pain and then it being gone is life-changing.
Absolutely.
And to the point
goodness.
Of, you know, you wake up and you're like, hey, I think I might feel a little bit better. That wasn't it. It was, I woke up and it was gone. And there's a little bit of fear that comes with that, because my first thought was, oh no, God healed me. What does he want me to do now? and so there was this expectation of, okay, he's getting me ready for something. What is it? And then to begin that process of saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to live. I'm going to make this. Now I got to do something.
Yes, exactly.
It wasn't a gradual thing. It was boom. And then you really get hit with it in the face. And now you got to start paying attention.
Well, then other things happened and you moved on, and to make a long story short, you became a custodian in a school. And
yes.
Tell us about that, because apparently it has been an extremely fascinating, and it's given you a whole different outlook on life. So I know that you will.
It really has.
Share about that.
Yeah, I've, of course, my wife is a retired teacher. My daughter is a teacher, and so I my whole adult life has kind of revolved on the outskirts of education. You know, I did a stint of substitute teaching as a, I guess, a part-time fill-in. I mean, I've had my opportunities to teach. I've been in the school system and in education, but really just as an onlooker through the life of my wife. And so I know what they go through. I would be in so much trouble if Christine listens to the podcast and I don't give kudos to the teachers. So, and I do, but yeah, I had a stint on disability because of the brain surgery. And so I had left the church, had to step down out of the pulpit. Just, you know, when you can't read the words on your paper for the sermon, or you can't even see your congregation at times when you're going in, it's time to step down. And I wasn't happy about that, but I did that. And we had, again, God decided that some turmoil was going to come into the family, that we were going to have to really trust him, and some things happen, and Christine had and I had decided that we should probably move on to another town, and we did, to Woodland Park in Colorado, which is a beautiful little town. We absolutely love it. Christine got a job working as a fourth grade teacher, and there I was. And really felt in my heart, you know, I don't feel disabled. I don't feel like I should be on disability, even though I was still getting that disability check every month through the Presbyterian Church. This wasn't Social Security. I really felt, okay, God, you want me to move on? And I can't do that claiming to be disabled and not. So I called the Presbyterian Church and said, you know what, I'm the Board of Pensions, and said, I'm done with the disability. But that brings up another problem now. Okay, now you're free to do what you want. God, what do you want me to do? And, of course, there were no churches around that needed pastors. It wasn't like I was filling a church. And so I volunteered at Christine's school for about a year, and then decided that I really felt like I wanted to work again. I felt strong enough to work, and so I started off during the summers working for the groundskeepers. I was cutting the football field and cutting the grass around schools, and then it just happened to turn out that a head custodian position came open, and prayed about it, and I thought, I know nothing about this. I don't know. I can clean things, but you know I'm not particularly handy or anything, but, you know, thank goodness for Google to figure things out. And I took that job and just kind of said, okay, God, if this is where you want me to be, you're going to have to, show me something. I mean, throw me a bone, let me know I'm going in the right direction, because this is nothing that I would have thought of, but really felt that this was something God was saying, yeah, yep, I need you to be a custodian right now, which made no sense to me. I said, okay, I'll do it. And through that, I feel like I did very little custodial work, but was open enough to be kind of that vessel that God needed to interact with some of the people there at the school. I'm not quite sure I don't know what the verbiage is to explain it, but I really felt used by God as a custodian. And it was so cool to compare those two things, to marry those two things. Okay, Derek, I'm going to use you again. Here we go. You ready? Yeah, God, I'm ready. And of course we first think of, okay, I'm going to be a missionary, or you're going to put me in this pulpit and I'm going to have a congregation of 27,000 people, and I'm going to speak to the world. And God says, yeah, I need you to be a custodian. and you're like, okay, that's what I'll do. But I'll tell you what, my life took a took a drastic turn when I took on that job. And it's not sad to say, but it's strange to say, not that you can compare the two. So I'm going to kind of make an even. I felt used by God as much as a custodian than I did as a pastor. And that's a positive thing, not a negative thing. That's a very positive
right.
thing.
That goes to show, Derek, that
everybody.
God can use anyone, anywhere. Yeah.
Yeah, and absolutely.
I'd like to make a pitch for your blog, and I apologize, the name escapes me.
It's just called The Janitor's Closet.
The Janitor's Closet, yeah. And you have, what, 6 or 7 posts up there. What I really liked about reading through those, I got to read 3 or 4. I felt they are written from an observer, somebody on the fringe of school life to the hearts of those whose lives center around the school environment.
Very early on, I had been thinking about doing this for a long time. You had mentioned the What If project at the very beginning, and through my website, I kind of bring those things all together, and I kept thinking to myself, I'd love to share what I saw and what God did and revealed to me through as a janitor, as a custodian. And one day just sat down and began to write, not only to speak to teachers, but through that to be able to speak to everybody, because what teachers go through, everyone goes through in really in life. And so I just started writing them down. I appreciate the kind words. I'm not sure I agree with them because I'm very self-conscious when I write, but they're so fun to write. They really are.
The thing is, Derek, even beyond that, even beyond the way that you're writing, the message that you are getting across to people, I like the way you do it, because I know from knowing you all these years that you are a strong Christian. You do have strong Christian principles and a strong faith, but anybody could stumble on to those posts that you have done and not feel like, oh man, I'm being beaten over the head with this preaching. You know what
right.
I'm saying? I mean, you very
absolutely.
Much stick to your Christian faith, but I don't think you mentioned God in a single one of them,
mm-mm.
which is not
no.
a bad thing.
No.
I'm just saying, you and yet you reflect, excuse me, you reflect what a Christian would think without, like I just said, preaching or beating people over the head with it. I mean, anyone of any faith could read them and get inspiration from them. And speaking of inspiration, we're going to talk about the What If Project here soon, but I would like to take a quick break. We're about halfway through the show, and this is where I remind listeners that you are listening to Step Into the Light right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Patty Sheen. My guest today is Derek Hutchison. Derek has, shall we say, an eclectic background. He held an LPN license. He was a former pastor of my church for many years. He then moved on to a custodial position at a school. He's a blogger. He's a podcaster. And he is now the founder of the What If Project, and we'll be discussing that a little further on into the show. So far, we've talked a little bit about Derek's background, how he got to where he is today. If you'd like to listen to this show again, or hopefully refer it to friends and family, you can find all of our shows on my website, which is Patty Sheen, that's spelled PattiSheene.com. At the top of the page is a Blog Talk Radio tab. All of our shows are listed there. Under each show is a More Information tab, and that's where Derek's website and that kind of information will be found as well. So with that, we'll get back to you, Derek. You know, when you said that you were seeking what God wanted you to do after you went through all the problems you did and you had to seek stability through the church, but even at that point, when you were still struggling with physical issues, with pain and all the things, you know, you still made yourself available to God, and that you had that road less traveled podcast series, and yes. I don't know how in the world mm-hmm. you did it, because I only do one podcast a week, and it's all I can do to get that done, and here we're doing, what, four or five? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I mean, that was something else that you did, the Becoming Christlike, and you and I, that's how you uh-huh. got me in podcasting. We did Literally Speaking. You did a couple of others that had mm-hmm. addressed different subjects. And so you made yourself available to God, even though you were probably mad as heck at him still, but
yeah, yeah.
But you tried to find ways to spread the word, to inspire people, and I just want to praise you for that and tell you that was a wonderful thing.
And you know, Pat, I will say about that time, I had never done anything podcasting. Of course, back then, podcasting was just kind of getting started. Not that it was new, but it was new to me. Not like
right.
today, when podcast is the thing. Content is king now in this time of the pandemic and people staying at home. But it was very interesting how I really feel that God led me to do that. In a way of saying, okay, God, I can't do these things right now because of physical ailments and things like that. What can I do?
Mm-hmm.
And really, that is how the What If Project came about, was that idea of, if you can't, I can't do this, what if there was some other thing that I could do to really be a voice or share my faith or encourage others. And that whole idea of not living our lives by the if onlys, because that's where I was. I was in the if only. If only I felt better. If only God hadn't allowed this to happen. If only I didn't have a tumor. If only those if onlys being replaced by the what ifs. What if there was an avenue that I could share my faith? What if tomorrow's a brighter day? What if, what if, what if? And that really became the mantra of the idea for the project, of putting down the if onlys in our lives and picking up the what ifs, putting away the negative, picking up the positive, and really being imaginative and open to that perhaps God has something for us in a different way than we had believed it to be in our before. And that was really the impetus. And so you were really on the ground floor of that and really a moving part of that What If project. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you, Derek. And I really enjoyed doing the podcast with you. I've learned a lot from you and from my guests, and I've formed some new friendships as well. And I think that many of us, me included, tend to live in if only.
Mm-hmm.
When I go to these conferences, I tend to live in, if only I could write like these people do. If only I knew mm-hmm. enough about this subject to influence thousands of people with some book. And I sit in and I listen to these people talking about the books they're writing on, prayer and faith and all the aspects of Christianity. I think, here I am sitting here writing my stupid Western, you know. They told me, well, you never know who you're going to influence with the message that's mm-hmm. in that story. And I'm like, yeah,
right.
I guess. But I feel so inadequate when I'm there and listen to these people. So, yeah, I think we do.
Exactly what you're talking about, Pat, is really the cornerstone or the foundation of the what if, because I think so many times in our lives, at least I have, but I know other people do it as well, we have a tendency to want to meet God at his highest places. So
yes.
when we think of, okay, I want to be that missionary. I want to be that pastor that speaks to to thousands of people. I want to be that voice that goes throughout the world. I want to do something big because I serve a big God. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I think we would all agree that's not necessarily or primarily how God works. We look through Scripture and we see the people that He goes out and chooses. And so we try to meet God in His high places, and God meets us where we're at. God says, you know what? You're a custodian. I can use that. You know what? You're on disability. I can use that. You've been through divorce. I can do that. You're grieving over a death. I can use that. You don't have to. I mean, very rarely, if any, I don't believe that God calls us to climb the mountaintop to get to Him. He comes mm-hmm. down to the valley to meet us. And He says, I'm down here, and I know you're hurting. I know you're sad, but I have something for you. And I'm going to use you and meet you right where you are. And it has been within the last decade, two decades of my life, that God has really made that clear. My wife, Christine, always has to help me to remember that, to always be able to look not at the situation as it is, but all of the blessings that God has given to us to get us to where we are, even if that may not be where I particularly want to be. It's a difficult thing for me. I don't know if it's a man thing or not. But she has constantly in my life been the speaker, the impetus of, hey, let's remember the blessings that got us here. And so that's really kind of the idea of the What If Project, is that imagination and saying, what can I do for God? Or what can we do for others with what I have? That idea of what if.
Yes. I wanted to mention with your What If Project, you're doing the podcast, the What If Podcast now. And I only got to listen to one so far. But I really enjoy your inspiration series about bringing people on to the show that talk about what inspires them. And it's true. Everybody has something that
So the big question for the show then, I guess, Pat, is I will turn the tables on you and ask you, what is it that inspires you? What is it that motivates you to change? Because that's, you know, you had mentioned the podcast, and of course, sure, I'll take the opportunity to put the plug in for the What If Podcast, because I think it's an interesting thing, but that is what we talk about. We talk about inspiration, not just things, not just the little butterflies or the, remember the old AT&T commercial where the daughter calls her dad and everybody, you always cry when you watch it. Not so much that, but that idea of what inspires you to a point that you are motivated to change in a positive way. So I would flip that on you and ask you, what is it that motivates and inspires you, Pat?
I think what inspires me is to hear about or talk with people who have accomplished something under adverse circumstances, whether it be learning something new or overcoming a handicap or a health problem or rising above a difficult situation. The guests on my blogs, for example, especially my Over 50 Writer blog, they're an inspiration because many of them didn't even begin their writing career until after their kids have left home or they've retired, and they had to learn so much to catch up with this technology in their later years. I'm inspired by certain sports figures, and I most enjoyed watching my kids and my granddaughter when they were involved in sports competition. I'm a fan of the Olympics because people who pursue those things, it doesn't matter what age they are, whether they're young kids in the school or at the professional level, they're constantly being challenged to strive, to endure, to succeed. So, yeah, those kind of people inspire me in anything in nature. Oh, my goodness. I love to watch the sunsets, and I take pictures of the sunsets and put them on my Facebook page. And I like to watch the different weather changes. I love to see a good hard rain, stand at the window and watch it. I like the wind. I know that sounds crazy because wind is so destructive, but I really enjoy seeing. And I think what I enjoy the most is just seeing the manifestation of God's power in the wind and the ocean waves. I grew up out on the East Coast, so I saw a lot of the Atlantic Ocean, and just the force and the power in that water is so, so amazing. And there's just so much beauty to be seen in nature, whether it's all the thousands of stars that you see at night on a clear night, or watching the moon rise, or even just looking out across the prairie. I see a great deal of beauty in that. And of course, the mountains are just so magnificent. So yeah, nature is another big source of inspiration for me.
And you know, that's what we hear a lot as we talk to people. And we talk about how inspiration, just like we were talking about how God uses the seemingly small, the person who thinks, I don't have anything to offer God. I'm just this, I'm just that. Surely God could pick somebody better than me. That's the person that God likes to go after. But inspiration comes in all types of all forms of nature, of action, of all of these types of things, just like you were mentioning nature and the ocean and the wind and how we can be inspired. But specifically, you were talking about how you were inspired by others and doing the things that we thought or think, oh, I could never do that. We talk about on the What If podcast all types of avenues of inspiration, and a strange one that you might not think of. We recorded last night's show, and we talked about football because playoffs are coming. I mean, and people get inspired by that. But specifically, I talked about Ben Roethlisberger, who had done an interview with Sporting News, and he was asked about what he thought about the game coming up against the Kansas City Chiefs. And he just flat out said, we don't have a chance. We don't have a chance. We're going to lose by 20 or 30. So on our podcast, we began to talk about how athletes and athletics and sports inspires us. But then we began to talk about why is it that we can be inspired by other people, yet we can't seem or are hesitant to inspire ourselves in this whole idea of really thinking, I can do this. And that's an overwhelming message that we talk about in the What If Project, whether we're talking to teachers or whether we're talking to students or whether we're talking at churches, is that idea of, I can do this. It was something kind of a mantra that began back in the time of my brain surgeries, and really God coming to me and saying, you know what, Derek, you can do this. You can do this. I am with you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to be there for you. You can do this. It's a message that teachers especially need to hear right now during this pandemic. It's a message that I repeat to them often is, you can do this. You have what it takes. To students, to say, you know what, the choices that you make in your life determine where you are. Make good choices. You can do this. And Jeremiah 29 is kind of the message that has been attached to our family and to the What If Project. It says, I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you. And going a little bit further in that, in Jeremiah, that says, you know, I know you're in exile, I know you're in captivity, but while you're there, I want you to prosper. God speaking to us and really saying, when you are in the midst of grief, when you are in the midst of sadness, when you're in the midst of these things that you think are absolutely horrible, I am there and I want you to prosper. Because a lot of the times we think that idea of prospering in God is just for the mountaintop, but it's also for the valley. And so those are the types of things that we try to encourage when we're asked to come and speak at schools or to preach a sermon or to speak to teachers or whatever, is really bringing out that idea of what if God is with you in the valley just like he's with you in the mountaintop? What if that sadness somehow is a catalyst for God's work in your life to open up our minds and say, in the most horrible times of my life, God is there. I just have to look around and see what he's doing. That's what's played out in my life, and that's kind of the direction that we've gone with the What If Project.
I was so thrilled when I saw that you were actually going into schools. That is just that is just amazing.
Yeah. It's been such a blessing to be able to do that. And really, it's the most simplest idea. It is that whole idea of the butterfly effect. I talk about Edward Lorenz and that mystic name, that law that he came up with, that sensitive dependence upon initial conditions, which is the butterfly effect. It's chaos theory. It's the thing that runs our weather. And to really talk to kids and say, everything that you do or don't do, every choice that you make or don't make matters to everyone. And so make good choices. It's been a real blessing to be able to go in and talk to kids of all ages. And I've talked from I've spoken to kindergartners, middle schoolers. I've spoken to youth groups, and it's just a blessing to be able to do that. And even in that school setting, to, like you alluded to earlier, that idea of I'm giving you biblical principles. You just don't know they're biblical principles.
Exactly.
And to be able to do that. And so it really feels like, even though it's in that school setting, which everybody says, oh, you can't take God into it. Well, sure you can. There's just certain rules that you have to abide by because of the school, to really feel like God has called me to take his word into a place where his word isn't always welcome, I guess.
Yes.
And that's not to put a knock on school systems or anything. I understand why those things are there. But just the privilege of being able to do that, it's just been a blessing, and would love to do it much more than I do. But those are the real happy times when a school calls and says, can you come and speak to our kids, or can you come and speak to our teachers, and just to be encouraging them, because I think that's something that came about because of the custodial work, which just kind of reiterates all of those things, how God, you know, it's that tapestry that we look at, and then you turn it over on the back and you see all the different lines, and you say, okay, that's what we can't see. That's God at work. God has really given me a heart for teachers, so much so that I married one and my daughter is one. I love teachers. I love educators. I love people who work in, I love paras who get paid nothing, you know, basically minimum wage to do a very, very hard job. I love to go in and say, you know what, you are appreciated. You can do this. You can make it. Because every once in a while, people like that, I love speaking to custodians, and you can probably see some of it in my writing in the janitor's closet, is really that nod to the janitor, that custodian who does that job that very rarely gets the pat on the back. I really think that that's kind of the What If Project. What if we looked at our custodians differently? What would happen? And to take that into other areas. So, yeah, it's been a real blessing. And the fact that doing this gives me the opportunity to come on your podcast, which, again, brings it round circle and gives me a sense of pride and a sense of excitement for you.
Thank you so much for coming on today, Derek. This has been great. Is there anything else you'd like to share before we close out the show?
I'll share this with you, and I don't know how much time we have left. But if you give me a second to share this,
you're fine.
You kind of talk about an individual's how they went from that darkness to light, how they moved, the things that happened in their lives, and I've spoken about those things today. But I'll tell you one event that happened in my life that has changed my life forever, and it happened after we had moved to Woodland Park. And it falls under this what if. My wife got a job teaching fourth grade math at this school, and two of the teachers, actually, there was a married couple, older than we are, just about ready to retire, great Christian couple. We would go over to Bible study at their house, and just fantastic. Dave Ewer is his name, and we were having a conversation one time, and you know me, Pat, I think we would both agree I'm maybe a type A personality. I like to talk. I'm more of a Paul than I am a, you know, anyway, I like that attention. That type of thing. And Dave asked me a question that has both inspired me and haunted me. So we were talking about this, and I was lamenting the fact of not being in the pulpit anymore, not getting that rush that Sundays would bring, and not being a youth pastor, and really, you know, all I am is just a custodian. I was really down on myself, and, you know, pity party, and oh, poor Derek. And he looked at me, and we were talking about family, and he said, Derek, what if, and that's what I like about it, is that beginning of that what if the only thing God wants you to be in life is a great or a good grandpa. Of course, I just have I have two granddaughters.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, that hit me so hard, because my first reaction was, then that wouldn't be enough, Dave. Then God is wasting talent. You know, just that really selfish, you know,
sure,
no humility at all type of thing. But I'll tell you what, that question has haunted me and kind of become almost a backbone of the What If Project, because it hit me so hard. What if that's all God wants me to do? And getting to the point of being okay with that, and getting to the point of thinking to myself, if that's God's plan for me, then God's plan is better than any other plan. God's plan is so much better than a plan I could come with. And if God's plan is just be the best grandpa, then that has to be enough for me. And it has changed my thinking. Just that one question, that one what if question, has changed my thinking and really changed the way that I look at God's calling on people's lives. Because it used to be for me, just how, you know, how big can we go, God? How big are we going to get? How great is it going to be? To the point of, yeah, I just need you to be a great grandpa. And it was fantastic. And that's what I would encourage your listeners and to really think about is, what if God's just calling you to do the simple thing? Because
yeah,
if we can't do the simple
parent,
thing for God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So that was a huge thing for me. And I would say, you know, to carry it into your show, that was a major time when I went from darkness to light, that I stepped into the light of this realization of, oh my, I just got hit in the face with some real God stuff right there. And Dave Ewer was the guy who punched me in the face with it. You know, that whole idea, it was just fantastic. So that's kind of the basis of the what if. So I want to thank you for letting me come on and talk about the What If Project and really encourage people to really take to heart what you're doing with that whole idea of stepping into the light. I love the name of it. I love the concept of it. And I'm so proud of you. You're doing a fantastic job, and there's no doubt that it's God's work.
Well, thank you, Derek. If it wasn't for you, like I said, I would have never even probably thought about it. Podcasting, so I feel like it was a God thing too, and I feel like through the show, no matter who listens to it, some of the friendships that I have developed too have been so rewarding. So there's definitely a purpose behind it, and I'm always hoping and praying that whoever does listen to it, it is inspired. Or get some degree of comfort or peace from wherever they're at. Again, thank you for coming on today, Derek, and thank you for all that you've done to inspire me in my life.
It's been real fun. I appreciate you having me.
Well, God bless you in all that you do, whether it be the What If Project or whether you go back to work as a custodian in a school or just, friend said, be the best grandpa you can be, the best dad that you can be, the best husband that you can be. So.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And God bless you and all that you're doing on this podcast, Pat. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Listeners, in closing, we all encounter dark periods in our lives to one degree or another. During those difficult times, strive to seek the light, knowing that when we allow it to shine through, it is so much brighter than we remembered. Thank you so much for listening today. I want to remind you to check out pattysheen.com. That's PATTISHENE.com. At the top of the page, you'll find the Blog Talk Radio tab. There you can catch the link to any of the shows that we have recorded to date. And also under each one is the More Information tab, where you find what you need to know about getting to Derek's blog and his podcast. We look forward to having you with us again next week. Until next time, God bless you.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a glare.